Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Claudia Monticelli with another episode of the podcast Multiple Voices. Today I have with me Desiree Holmes-Scarini. Say hello, Desiree, to the audience.
Hello. How are you?
Desiree's comes to us from Washington, D.C. And we were talking briefly before we pressed record. Of course, they are pre-recorded. This is pre-recorded. And since there's a lot of overlap between the things, you know, that we do, I tried to tell her what to expect. You know, I'm going to treat you terrible, so be careful. What my questions? So I was trying to give her an idea of how the interview would be going. And it's interesting always to understand that even though we do similar things, they're quite different in nature, both because of the training involved. We obviously have different forms of training because we come from different parts of the world, but also the style with which we give a service or work with clients. So let me first introduce her. Desiree is a board-certified master transpersonal hypnotherapist and certified life coach, and she has several other certifications as well as a BA in psychology from the University of California and a higher diploma in theosophy from the Theosophical Society in England. And I asked her about that. Well, theosophy, I've heard of that, but I didn't, you know, quite know. So maybe you could tell us right now before I continue, theosophy.
Sure. And first, I'll apologize to your listeners that I'm very hoarse. I didn't have a voice at all a couple days ago, so this is progress. So I don't usually sound like this, you know.
But my software will take care of that.
This is not my normal hypnotherapist voice. Anyway, so theosophy is translated as the study of the truth, and it's quite difficult to really encapsulate it in a small package, but basically it's a bit of an esoteric school of study where or even a belief system that's not really a belief system. The core of the Theosophical Society, which is worldwide, and it began just over 100 years ago, 150 years ago or so, it is that to accept all beings more as soul beings. It's not about color, gender, race, any of that. Is fair. It's inclusive, and a lot of the study is about how all religions have a common unity and the study of that, and you know, kind of embracing all in one kind of a thing.
So now this is where my antagonistic voice comes in, because when we talk about truth, it's always subjective. You know, I come from an academic background, so when we look for the truth, it's always my truth or your truth, unless we talk about universal truths. And so what kind of truth is this aiming for? I mean, can you clarify that a little bit?
You know, and since I didn't write the quote myself, that was by Madame Blavatsky, who herself had, you know, as will happen with this sort of thing, she had people that, you know, venerated her and people that called her a quack, right? Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and who was she?
She was Russian. She was a Russian noblewoman who traveled to Tibet and studied with masters and managed to understand, you know, was trained by these masters and did some amazing, interesting things. And following her, people that were in the organization, like I said, it was sort of an esoteric school, honed certain capabilities, some of them, but more so shared a common, most of them, you know, everybody's got their skeletons, yeah. But most of them shared the common idea of uplifting, you know, that your fellow
humanity.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. And, okay.
So the what was your original question? I kind of just
say that again. This happens so often during the interview. The idea is, what do you mean by truth here? Okay. Because truth is subjective,
and
unless
so,
we're talking
and
about
this is
universal.
Where I went off track. Since I didn't write it, but I think one of the quotes is there. It also is, there's no religion higher than the truth. So it was almost sort of like not being boxed in to a particular man-made translation.
Scripture.
What came. It's more of studying and understanding what even came, what the sources of religion are, and their commonality rather than what divides
the differences.
Them.
Yeah. Okay. But this is not all. Desiree is also an artist and an arts instructor. And she often combines her art with her intuitive trainings. And she continues, of course, to study and learn, like all of us, and is particularly interested in the power of the heart and the mind. And the unseen energies that are around us. We're going to lead with that talk about the energies. And following this path, she's focused much of her work on intuition and has embraced her psychic and mediumship powers and attained certifications as a psychic medium and a tarot reader. And she's recognized as a top hypnotherapist in Washington, D.C. by 3 best rated. That is a rating that she's received. And she's the author of the book Journey to Joy, The Written Path. And she has a YouTube channel and she's a podcast host of the podcast called Intuitive Journey with Desiree. Now, I will write under the in the description where you can find her, transhypnotherapy.com, www.transhypnotherapy.com. Now, why am I so excited to speak with Desiree is because it's not every day that we get to speak to people who work with one hypnotherapy. And it's not the hypnotherapy to make you stop smoking or lose weight or things like that, but geared toward having you look into your soul's lives and travels. Let's put it that way. There are a lot of things that I'd like to, I said I was going to lead with something, and maybe we could start by talking about the spirit world and levels of energetic being.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. And and I do also help people stop smoking and lose weight, stop nail biting. I do all of it. But I also, like you said, unlike most hypnotherapists, have that spiritual hypnosis side to me. So these 7 levels, the different levels of spiritual being, is something that actually I became much more familiar with through studying theosophy and a lot of their work or understandings come from Hindu or Buddhist traditions. And it's hard to find, but it makes perfect sense when you start to understand better or have experiences where you are, what's going on. So, you know, we're here in our physical body, and I like to compare it to, say, a glass of water. If you got a glass of water and you're not the glass, you're the water.
Okay.
So if you pour some of that water into another glass, that doesn't diminish you. Even if you pour all of that water out into the ocean, the water still exists, even though the glass is empty. So make that a metaphor for physical death, for example.
Okay.
So the body's still there, but your contents have gone someplace else.
Okay, so, but that you mentioned levels of energetic being, as if there are different levels.
Yes, so energetically within our, that water, that is not locked in the body. We actually, it's almost like vibrational.
Vibrational energy.
You know,
when we
talk about the spirit world, and some people have seen spirits or heard things. You don't see it necessarily because it's not in the physical realm, but it's, we can connect still with a certain level above us. So dreams, for example, take place in what would be called the astral plane. Mm-hmm. That's like your etheric double or whatever kind of gets to swim around and float out there. Mm-hmm. Also, spirit communication may take place on that plane or a little higher. And these different traditions have different names for these planes. I consider there's probably about seven of them, the highest being when you are simply kind of back with the universal energy and have no individuality anymore. But before that, you have your personality that still can move up and down. So, for example, with mediumship, to experience that connection, the person who's passed on is at a different frequency.
Okay, so when, just to clarify, when you mentioned mediumship, we're talking about communicating with someone who has passed, correct?
Yes, that's
So, spirit. Right. Mm-hmm, go on.
So they're not standing here, and I can't really just sit and talk to them, but the communication, and this is my way, best way of describing it, they're at a different vibrational level, sort of like dialing the radio. You know, you don't always hear the same station. You got to turn the radio to a different frequency to tune in. So as a medium, you can, you know, use breathing or focus or just intention combined to get yourself to a certain frequency, get your mind to kind of leave a little bit and meet them halfway. Because if they want to communicate, they'll come down a little and you'll get up there a little and you'll get these, this interaction.
All right. Let's say, let me add a couple of things here. So we all have a vibrational rate. Okay, my vibrational rate is a certain number. Yours is a different, right? And as the amount, the number, the measurement gets raises, gets higher, you know, from a fifth dimension goes into the sixth, we are up there with souls who want to speak, or else we wouldn't be able to speak with them, right?
Yes.
The interesting thing that I wanted sort of to hash out about this is a lot of people come and ask me, well, how can I do the work that you do? How is it possible for me to be able to talk to my parents who passed 2 years ago? Is it possible? How could you talk to them if they then have already reincarnated? All right. Do you have a couple of answers here?
I do, and there are some different beliefs around this, which is a bit complicated to go into. So what I'll say first is you have to not doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, just so you have to get your, just like hypnosis, you have to get that conscious critical factor out of the way and allow yourself to be open to signs, symbols, and the different ways that spirit will try to communicate. It might be a, it might be the scent of your grandfather's cigar. It might be your mother loved red roses, and all of a sudden you just see red roses all day long, or you know, if you're thinking about her, and you'll get these interesting feedback that they will try to communicate in a way that you, they believe you will recognize it, so that you'll at least think of them. So for someone who's not anticipating trying to communicate, whenever you kind of synchronistically or unexpectedly get something that you're like, oh, that's weird. You know, this was just like my mother's. It may be, if you're open to it, her kind of saying a little hello. Now, to purposely try to get into this state, this is where that intuition training also comes in, is to learn to go into that mental space, you know, get away from distractions, sit quietly, and just allow yourself, almost like self-hypnosis, to breathe and bring yourself to a certain state of calmness. So you almost kind of release that connection with your physical body and just allow your mind to wander. And as your mind wanders, it wanders in that higher
Okay, so let me stop you just for a moment. Yeah. And let's talk about tangible examples, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say my mom passed away in 2007. And of course, I talk to her every day. But let's just say, for argument's sake, I find you and I write to you and I really want to contact her because I tried and I tried and I tried. And I know I can feel something, but I just can't. So I write to you, I go to your website, and how do you start the process?
So if somebody comes to me for it, I actually prefer, well, I've done it both ways. I've done it, you know, on Zoom, in person. I kind of like just sitting quietly and just letting images, words, whatever they are, come to me, and I write them down. I just write down whatever comes to me. Sometimes I'm spot on. Sometimes it's like, no. Or sometimes, often, what happens is I'll get something that the person goes, no, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. And then later they're like, oh my gosh, I just remembered, yeah, you know, that, yes. And I, because I'm like, I don't know, that's what I'm getting. So one of the good things that I did learn when being trained is if you get a strong signal, just tell the person, give it some time. You know, and it may be months later that something happens or comes. So maybe I'm seeing a message that they don't get till later. Uh-huh. So that's how I usually do it. My preferred way of doing it. And what I get often, there was a woman I know who passed on. And I did it for her children. And it wasn't long after. It was so interesting because I heard, like, her voice, the way she would say it. So sometimes you might just hear your own voice putting words down, but I could hear her voice and telling them they had been honorable children, like almost like imitating, like, you've been very honorable children. She wasn't Japanese, but sort of imitating that, you know, giving them, and it was very interesting because it's the sort of thing she would have said. I've had others where the phrasing, you know, was the way they would have said it. And I'm like, but, which was different than other stuff. So I don't know. It's kind of like you kind of had to be there. I've had so many interesting things come through. And
let's I'm curious to know how you got started with past life regression. Of course, it's a hop, skip, and a jump from hypnotherapy. Yeah. And not everyone does it. But what brought you to do it? What was the attraction?
This is funny because it's one of those, you know, if you're meant to be someplace, the universe will push you in that direction without you knowing it sometimes. Mm-hmm. So without going into the long story,
Come on, give us the long story.
Oh, you want the long story?
Okay, yeah, so, we love a story.
Well, my background, degrees in psychology, I had worked as a facilitator for groups for, you know, stress management, alcohol, drug prevention, whatever, right after I got out of college, had kids, stayed home, moved into an art career because it was something I could do from home. Mm-hmm. As they were in like probably 9th or 10th grade, I had more free time. I saw an opportunity. Okay, I was teaching painting during a time that usually I would take a portrait workshop every year. And I'm like, oh, I can't take it because I'm actually teaching something and I couldn't take off. So I had the money and I had the time for a card came from the Edgar Cayce Center. For those of you who aren't familiar with him, he was an American seer and prophet, opened a center in Virginia Beach, Virginia here. And I saw a card come in the mail because I was a member that says, train as a hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, look at those dates are the dates that I'm off. Mm-hmm. And so I had the money and I had the time, but little did I realize the difference between one hypnosis training and the other.
Right.
And this was the transpersonal hypnotherapist.
So what is particular about transpersonal?
Yeah. So when you introduced me, you talked about, you know, stop smoking, nail biting, all that. Well, we're trained in all of that too, which is called clinical hypnosis, right?
Yeah, but I'm a clinical hypnotherapist myself, and so I just don't work with that area.
And I'm trained with that too, but on top of that, transpersonal brings in mind, body, and spirit. So they also do spiritual hypnosis. They bring in guides and angels, and we, as transpersonal, we work with whatever the person's belief system is. So we do ask, what's your belief system? Let's use that, right? So that is why I ended up in a group that focuses on spiritual realm, and that's how I got trained as a past life regressionist and also chose to take the life between lives spiritual regression.
So let's say, let's take a past life regression session. And if you can think for a moment, why do people come to you for that? What is the most impelling reason?
I think the most reason is they have an issue that they've been working on. Maybe they've tried to work it out themselves. They've even gone to a therapist. And they can't find
some kind of fears.
Yeah, well, not even fear so much as usually it's about blocks.
Blocks, emotional blocks.
Yeah, emotional blocks or, you know, not understanding why they're in a certain situation or a relationship in this lifetime. You know, sort of like, why me? So for those that believe in, like, are you following a pattern? Is this something that you were meant to be here to do and learn from? And of course, as the life coach end of it, when we process, you know, we go through all that. How does this help you? And I ask those questions. So that's usually, some people are just curious. You know, like,
so
tell me,
let's go. I'm again the client, right? And I have a fear of flying, all right? I have to fly because my work brings me to travel. So I thought, I've tried everything. I don't like to take medicine or medication. So I come to you. And what is the first, just walk us through the process of what you do. Is there an intake process, you know, questionnaire or an interview? What happens?
Yeah, with every new client, I have an intake session where I get to know them. I get to know all the background and details, any triggers, any information that they can share with me about what they want to work on. That doesn't matter what it is. I always do that. And then the session would follow for a past life regression. I usually allow an hour and a half, 2 hours, a little longer than a regular session. And so in your case, if you, we decided we're going to go to a past life to work on this fear of flying, under, under hypnosis, I would take you back in time, you know, after the regression, just lead you back through this life.
And you would record it, right? It's recorded.
Yes, record it, and I take really good notes and a writer's cramp at the end. But and then I would likely take you, suggest that you go back to the lifetime where you first experience, you know, that what's
you,
leading to
I mean, the idea, you're saying that the objective would be to ultimately bring me there, or you would ask me during the session under hypnosis, I would be, go to where you first, is that how it works?
Under hypnosis, once I get you under hypnosis and I suggest you go back on the timeline, I would suggest you go back to the source, the past life that has
is that
the
possible
most information.
For most people?
You know, yes. But what's interesting is some people just go back to some random lifetime and, you know, that doesn't seem like it fits.
And it takes time.
So we work on that and it's like, how does this fit, you know? But it, which kind of, you know, leads me and them to trust the process even more because they didn't just make up a story in their head to go back to something that fits. Sometimes they come up with something totally unrelated. And I'm like, well, this is somewhere in here. The reason you went there, there's information for you.
There is some, I had a client who, she was a public servant. She worked for the government. And, but her real nature, what she truly wanted to be ever since she was a little girl, was a writer. And she had tried to write blogs, but she just was so embarrassed and she just couldn't do it. And she wanted to know why she was so blocked from writing. What was it, you know? And when we worked together, of course, I have permission to talk about this from the client. She's one of my clients who has given me permission to write about it in a book. She's written, and this is a forthcoming book, the stories from stories from the desk of a soul therapist. She slowly went to several different life times. And it was so interesting to see how, you know, she would be like a dog on a leash. I was being brought with her, you know, and I'm, you know, with my tongue hanging out, and she's talking and she's bringing me. And then we ended up in an area with a something that could have been like a spiritual teacher, and she was a scribe. And it was there that the entire the reason blew up. She found out because her father, what was considered a father figure, was present there, and she didn't have a good relationship with her father. And then, you know, here I was, like you, writing all notes. You have writer's cramp while you're writing, yeah. And it's recording. And then after, like you said, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, even more. But under hypnosis, it's, you know, a good hour, a little over. Yeah. And when you see that it's tiresome for the person and you think you have enough elements and enough to go on, because they are literally, there's in this alpha state that they know what had happened, I bring her back. And, you know, in this case, she was, my God, I realize I couldn't believe it, of course. You know, and the what is so interesting, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, in past life regression, is the aha moment of the client, that they reach the responses and the solutions to their issues. Exactly. I don't want to say it's immediate. It usually, with my clients, it's done in one, maximum two sessions, really. It depends on how far they want to go and how difficult their situation is. But that's what happens. And it's so satisfying for that. I don't know. I'm always, it's as if I'm doing it and I'm surprised. I know it's going to go there, but every time it's such a surprise, you know?
Yes, and it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's surprising for the client. But it's also amazing to me to see how they get there. And of course, when you give them the recording where they can listen to them. Oh, of course, I've been under hypnosis. I have done past life regression myself. And so I have that recording. And when I listen to it and I remember, as if it were today, the things that were coming out of my mouth. And as they were coming out of my mouth, I was thinking, how do you like that? I should have known, you know?
Yeah. Well, somewhere you did know. It just took that little, you know.
It's hidden. It was
very hidden. That consciousness door.
Yeah.
You know, it took opening that, you know, opening the conscious. So it's like not closing you off from that information, which is what's so great about hypnosis.
And it's such an emotional moment. And what people who would like to try it or are curious or do have issues, I always tell them you really have to go to someone you trust, because it's the relationship that you entertain with the person, the therapist that you're working with, is so, you have to trust them. You really do have to trust them, mm-hmm. because you're going back into an emotional space. And I mean, the tears come out, the tears abound. It's such a very personal, intimate space, you know? I think it's probably one of the most fascinating things that I do. And I'm sure you, but see, you work with art. And what I enjoy about the artist's page, you know, the canvas, when you're working with things like tarot, oracle, or divinity, you know, divining, mm-hmm. is that, you know, I sort of, and let me know if this is true, could it be likened to some form of automatic writing where the person is writing and the message emerges in the art? Is that?
Well, it can be both, you know. And actually, I also teach on intuitive writing,
what is intuitive writing?
It's sort of like what we were just talking about, where you allow yourself to just start writing and see what comes. And I'm actually going to be doing a talk on that, in a upcoming hypnotist global summit thing. I was actually, it's pre-recorded, so I just recorded this, the difference to me between intuitive writing and automatic writing, generally, okay, mm-hmm. is that with intuitive writing, I believe the answers are coming from your own subconscious or from your own higher self, yeah. within your own little
intuitive,
your mm-hmm. own little bubble. Whereas yeah. automatic writing
right.
may be coming from
channeled.
A source or an entity outside mm-hmm. you. Okay, so for example, when I do mediumship, I'm probably doing more of an automatic writing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not writing out of my own subconscious. I'm writing.
Right, you're writing. You write during that.
Mm-hmm. Whereas with intuitive writing, I teach it along with the intuitive art sometimes. And I'll put somebody under with a question that they want to ask.
What do you mean, like, you put somebody under? You're talking about hypnosis?
In hypnosis, yeah. I'll put them under a light trance with having them focus on what they want an answer to. And uh-huh. while they're still under, then I have them open up their eyes with their paper and pen and just begin to write without mm-hmm. editing and just write about it. Just write about it. And mm-hmm. it's magnificent in that what I think happens is there's a different channel that goes physically. Same thing with art. You're
it's difficult here. I understand. I do understand mm-hmm. what you're saying, the intuitive mm-hmm. and automatic. And I'd say, let's say 80% I agree with you. But then there's a fine line that divides you getting messages from your higher self and guides, masters
yes,
that want to use you as a channel for their messages. I'll mm-hmm. give you an example, and maybe you can let me know what you think. Almost every morning, maybe every other morning, but just about every morning, I wake up, and before I put my feet on the floor, I take out my iPad, one of the programs that I have. I turn on the microphone and I dictate messages that come to me because I'm thinking them. Some stupid thing, all right? I have a project. I have a project, and it's very iffy whether the project will go forward in this particular context, right? And that right. message comes out. Those messages come out. But also messages concerning other projects that masters are interested in getting out through me, like, for example, a publication. So in this mishmash of what I do in the mornings is a little bit of both. Is that correct? Yeah.
I believe so. And I believe like there's a little teamwork going on.
Yeah, teamwork. You're right about that.
You're given some information mm-hmm. and then you integrate that with your own right. ideas and thoughts and take it forward. So, and this is like sometimes mm-hmm. we think, well, was that my thought or was yeah. that something else? I have an example of this. Just mm-hmm. I was watching a video of someone, another medium who was talking, and I had one of these aha, like you're talking about, oh, I have an idea for what I want right. to do with something. So just the night before, I woke up and I thought, oh, I know how to describe this. And this is akin to what we're talking about. And I thought about making the video, and I have a piano, and I thought about making the video and actually just playing the keys, like,
yeah,
and then saying, it's a piano, but all these different tones are in this piano. It doesn't mean that each tone is a different piano, and that's what we are. And I was talking in my brain, making the a video about our different levels of being.
This is interesting that you mentioned the piano, because I have just started working with the piano, just like you're explaining, mm-hmm. using the keys and the sounds and the melody and the harmony to get messages, which is something that I have never done before. It's just since January, February, I've started with it.
That's fantastic.
And it's, but I'm still not, you know, whereas you're in front of the iPad or whatever it is, and you put on the microphone and you get it, and it comes out in words. This is a different language, just mm-hmm. like art is a different language.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to think, whereas it works perfectly for me, because I understand the harmony that I know when it's sad and I know when it's happy, you know, if my mind goes in a certain place and the melody speaks to me in a certain way, I have my answer. I'm wondering if something like that can be used to divine or to work with a person, or because you teach art and divination, right? I'm mm-hmm. wondering if you, through art, you yourself do, is it possible for you to get responses for clients, for example? I don't, maybe I confused you.
Well, I haven't used me doing the art for their answers, but I have had them, as I mentioned earlier, have them, even under a hypnotic state, create their own art, or even just a pre-guided meditation,
do their own art. You work with.
Yes. And uh-huh. you know, it's funny. So these synchronicities, I think we're onto something, because the universe is sending this down. Like I said, mm-hmm. So I see her on the video talking about saying the same thing. Well, it's like we're a piano and all of these different notes are inside of us. And I'm like, that's what I just woke up with last night, and I was going to use it in my video. And now uh-huh. here you are talking about the piano and using harmony and tones.
Well, yeah, but you see, it depends, because I'm a writer, so I know what writing is all about. And I know that certain words sing a certain tune, right?
Yeah.
I can't say I'm a concert pianist by no stretch of the imagination, but I know harmony when I hear, you know, I know right. what I'm doing there on the piano. I think I'm not sure how to define it. If it's a language, you know, that is a language that we use to communicate with the divine. I have to think of that. I'm not sure. People who sing, for example.
I think sound, not words. I think mm-hmm. sound might have been the original creator, maybe.
Ah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I always picture that there's so much that I could go into, but, you know, and then there was the word.
Yes. And then there was the word, right.
And the word translated is not word. It doesn't mean like, you know, a word. It means a vibration.
Message. Uh-huh. About vibration.
And so the old translation, I think in Aramaic was a vibration or a, mm-hmm. And so if you're not familiar with this, we'll also send you down a rabbit hole. Are you familiar with cymatics? C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so for your listeners, tell them to just Google YouTube cymatics and see these beautiful building blocks of nature
that
match different tones. So that's another way to use it as a translator. You know, is it a beautiful image? I was like Dr. Emoto with the crystals.
Yeah.
You know, is it a beautiful image? Does this resonate with you? And even the terminology that we use.
Yes.
Resonating. It
has
say truth of all this.
It's about sound.
Good vibration.
Regularly, I work, I do mediumship on my YouTube channel live or pre-recorded. And much of the messages that have been, well, the questions asked from my subscribers who, what can we do? How can we, you know, raise our vibrational state? How can we have a spiritual awakening? And I could remember clearly on several occasions the response was having to do with singing, pronouncing, using your larynx and vocal cords to vibrate sounds, to create vibrational sounds without words. And that is what allows you to move in that direction. And I wasn't sure of what I was hearing, but if I liken it to singing, then it's clear to me, you know, this om and like the Arabic mm-hmm. guttural sound, that kind of sound, which was.
Well, and I can't think of his last name, Jonathan. There's a music sound guru, and he had a video out, and he was talking about making these sounds, and it was the name of Yahweh, but through sound, mm-hmm. and how it goes up through the chakras. Uh-huh. And with each chakra, making and that this would, in this meditation with this sound. And then, of course, we have the om chanting, and there's something mm-hmm. behind all this, right? I use a biofeedback little thing that shows the heart coherence, heart brain coherence thing. And if you're out of coherence, it's jiggly jaggly. And when you are, it goes nice and smooth. And it hits
is it a machine or what?
It's the HeartMath Institute.org. It's called a inner balance. It's like a little Bluetooth inner balance thing. And it's a good thing that I use with the clients that like to see, hey, is this really working? But what I noticed is when I sit and I do the breathing and I do the, you know, just the calming, that it, you know, it does okay. But I discovered when I chant Om,
yes,
it gets
different.
Much higher.
Of course, of course.
And then
and it has
all that
to
goes
do
to the vagal
with
nerve too.
This, the yeah, the vagal
body.
Nerve, the polyvagal. Yeah. It has to do with what is here. I work with, and I'm going to plug, excuse me if I plug something here. I work with movement. I give lessons in movement, but voice in movement. One of the lessons weekly is your voice in consciousness movement. And
great.
There we work with the sound, of course, brought together with the breath and, you know, have it elongated. But it's using those part, that part of, you know, not controlling it, but understanding, feeling it, you know, understanding where the sound comes from. And also breath work. And breath work together with this is, oh, just... So anyone out there, the first lesson is free. Write to me.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. And there's so many.
People,
we could go...
We forget how to breathe.
Yes, we forget to breathe.
I know. I was working with somebody the other day, and I said, now just take a deep breath in. And I'm looking at them, and their chest, nothing's moving.
Yeah.
And I said, and a deep breath in. And I'm like, you need to breathe.
You got to breathe.
Their breathing was so shallow that they didn't even realize that they weren't breathing in and breathing out.
It's your neurological system has to learn that. That's why I call them lessons, because it's the neurological system that needs to find different patterns to emanate. Yeah. Anyway, we've had so much so much out there. And the focus was on these past life, this past life regression and hypnotherapy, which is something I suggest to anyone who has the desire or the necessity to try. And like I said, we will be able to find you, Desiree, at transhypnotherapy.com, right?
That's right. That's my main website. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for coming and shining a light. It was wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Desiree.
Bye. Thank you.